Heroes don't boast. The thing about people, quite interesting, we have a lot of heroes from God's Word. We got Abraham, Daniel. You know something? None of them would want to have been called a hero, because they had a hero, and it was our Heavenly Father. So ultimately, that is our hero above all. That will never change, and so it is. People who think that God doesn't exist or is dead worship each other. People who are without spiritual conscience worship each other, themselves, that is to say. So coming into the Father's Word, we have nothing to boast about. And our Heavenly Father teaches that. What takes that place is love for your Father. Because anytime we can do something great, it is He that makes it possible, not I. When you have somebody that's got I, and me, and my, you want to be real careful of that person. They got a problem, okay? They're boasting. They're not giving any credit to where credit truly belongs, and that's with our Heavenly Father. Open your Bibles, if you would, to Romans chapter 3, and we're going to pick it up with verse 21. Romans chapter 3, we'll pick it up with verse 21. Again, the subject is heroes or God's elect do not boast. Verse 21 reads of chapter 3, the great book of Romans, "But now the righteousness of God without the law is manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets." That they've all shown this. It comes down to what? 22. "Even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ, unto all and upon all them that believe, for there is no difference." If you believe, you've got salvation made. It is your faith in that. Faith brings belief. Verse 23, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." There's not one person that in their lifetime, according to the law, has failed. But that's why we have repentance, and that's what faith brings to you. 24, "being justified freely by His grace." That's unmerited favor. He does it for free through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. It's free to you, but it cost Him an awesome price. He paid for it with His blood. Why? Because He loves you. And he looks forward to that time with you in eternity if you will believe, if you will follow Him. 25, "whom God hath set forth to be a propitiation through faith." Through what was that again? "Through faith in His blood to declare His righteousness for the remission of sins that are past," not future, "that are past through the forbearance of God." God allows it. Christ paid the price. You repent and mean it. You're forgiven. Verse 26. "To declare, I say, at this time His righteousness, that He might be just, and the justifier of him which believeth in Jesus." You know, you've got a lot going for you. There's a lot in the world that don't believe. There's a lot of people in the world that make light when you even mention Christianity. And Christianity is being downed more so and more so by the press and by many people. That's all right. God knows what the score is, and God knows who to bless and who absolutely to bring a little vengeance down on occasionally. Our Father keeps score. Our Father oversees. 27. "Where is boasting then?" There's our word. Where is boasting? "It is excluded." By what law? "Of works." Nay, but by the law of faith. Faith itself does away with boasting, because if you believe and have faith, you know that God is the one that accomplishes overall, and you're blessed. Absolutely blessed. If he gives you a gift of even teaching, leading, whatever the case might be, visitation, there's all kinds of gifts. They come from him. You cannot boast about that gift. It belongs to him. And you humbly must remember that and through your faith, give him thanksgiving for the fact that he does bless you. Don't ever boast about it. That's a no-no. 28, therefore, we conclude that a man is justified by faith without the deeds of the law. In other words, you can break a law, and when you repent through faith and belief, you are forgiven. But if you are without faith and without belief and break a law, you're doomed. Okay. It is faith that makes the difference. That's giving God his just due, the price that Christ paid on that cross. 29. Is he the God of the Jews only? Is he not also of the Gentiles? Yes, of the Gentiles also. God created every living being. He is the Father of all, and he has a reason and a purpose for all. Verse 30. Seeing it is one God, which shall justify the circumcision by faith and the uncircumcision through faith. In other words, faith gets it done, both the Gentile and the Israelite. 31. Do we then make void the law through faith? God forbid. Yea, we establish the law. In other words, it is the law that brought us to this point. It was the schoolmaster. It's what taught you how to follow. And do you know something? The law, doing away now with what's nailed to the cross, blood rituals and so forth, but the law itself still here, and it doesn't change. It keeps you out of trouble. And when you break one of them, you're still going to pay. You're going to have some repenting to do. But it is there for a purpose, of course. The law is good. People simply fall short. Let's continue on into chapter 4 here, a few verses. Verse 1 of chapter 4. What shall we say then that Abraham, our father, as pertaining to the flesh, hath found? I mean, he was a man. He was 100 years old. And he had no offspring by his wife Sarah. He did have by handmaid. Hagar was from which Ishmael came. But he didn't have the promise that God had promised. Sarah was 90 years old. Verse 2. For if Abraham were justified by works, he had wherewith to glory. Now, this word glory is the same word as boast, okay? In the Greek, it is kakad am ani, okay? And it means exactly that, to boast, or to vaunt. But not before God. He had nothing to glory about before God. Verse 3, for what saith the scripture? Abraham believed God. That makes the difference. And it was counted unto him for righteousness. Not his works, but his belief in God. Verse 4, now to him that worketh is the reward not reckoned of grace. That means by unmerited favor, but of debt. I mean, by works it's owed to you. That means your works are still good. When you work for God, he owes you, and he always pays his bills. All right, you can't outdo our Heavenly Father. If you do a righteous act in works, it creates a debt with him. But if you believe, and even though you didn't accomplish anything, but tried, grace means unmerited favor. You really don't merit it. He's going to give it to you anyway. Why? Because you believe and because you have that faith. That's what makes the difference. That's what happened with Abraham, though we may consider him a hero. He was a man, just like the rest of us are. And it was his faith and his belief in God to trust him that 100 years old and his wife 90, he could still sire a child. He believed, and it was so. Verse 5, but to him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness. Belief goes a long ways. Faith goes a long ways. I'm going to tell you something. You've heard people maybe say at one time, I believe a little bit. No, you don't. You're lying to yourself. You either believe Christ was the Son of God or you don't. Stop trying to cut corners. You're either of faith or you're not. And a person of faith is going to either worship themselves or somebody else instead of the God that brings forth unmerited favor, meaning to help you when you need it. He can do that. Verse 6, even as David. Now there's another hero we could consider. He didn't consider himself one. Also described the blessedness of the man unto whom God imputed righteousness without works. He believed. 7, saying, blessed are they whose iniquities are forgiven and whose sins are covered. That is to say, by the hand of the living God. Why? Because of belief and because of faith. Abraham had nothing to boast about, even though of all the people in the world, of all the souls that God ever created, Abraham is the one God chose to make the covenant with. The covenant that is to be a blessing to all people. But not even Abraham could boast about that, because it was given from God, not because of Abraham's works, but because he believed. And therefore God used him. It is a blessed thing to have faith in God and to be a worker also. You get a double blessing that way. I'll say it again. To be a worker and a faither both, you receive a double blessing from God. Part is debt and part is unmerited. You're going to get it if it's possible and if it's best for you. Why? God loves you. He wants the best for you. You're going to find happiness. And happiness is a commodity that you cannot have without having peace of mind. And peace of mind comes from loving Him, having faith in Him, but most of all, having Him to watch over you, to guide you. That's where peace of mind comes from. Otherwise, you're void of it, and you're without it. How precious it is to be in good standing with our Father. It would be great if we never fell short. We do. But that proves His love. Then is it legal to sin? No, it isn't. But it proves all the more His love for you when you realize and repent and get back to work and follow Him. No, Abraham had nothing to boast about. Though he was the one that God called from Abram, changed his name even to Abraham, which is to say a blessing to all people, both Gentile and Israelite. But he couldn't boast about it. We have nothing to boast about, but humbly we serve God and thank Him for the gifts that He gives us to bring peace of mind to God's people, especially in this generation where there is so much trouble. You need that peace of mind to have tranquility and to know, hey, He's still on the throne. He's watching over you. Okay, let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Pick it up with verse 17. For Christ sent me not to baptize, this is Paul speaking, but to preach the gospel, not with wisdom of words, lest the cross of Christ should be made of none effect. He didn't tell me you go out there with a bunch of eloquent words I mean, get up there in the 6-bit words. Don't just go with the little 2-bit words. I mean, he didn't do that. He didn't go out there as some great orator. He went out there with the simple truth spoken in the colloquial language, whether it was a Greek or a Hebrew, whoever he was talking to, broke it down in their language in the simplicity that Christ sent him, whereby they could understand and whereby it was brought forth. Verse 18, "For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it is the power of God." And it is true. When you go to a heathen and say something about the cross, they go, "Why would he do that? Why would he die and bleed on the cross?" It's a shame, but that's true. Verse 19, "For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise." That's to say, those that are wise in the ways of the world. "And will bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent." You're great orators that speak great swelling words but never say anything. God says, "I'm going to laugh at them. I want you to laugh at them. I want you to understand the simplicity which comes in the Word of God, the truth, without a bunch of fluff or excuses. But you get tough love right down where the rubber meets the road and teach God's word. Christ crucified, that's to say, who crucified him, why they crucified him, why he was crucified, what that means to you. It means eternal life, to repent and to believe upon him. Verse 20, "Where is the wise?" Who is really wise? Is it the ways of the world, street smarts? "Where is the scribe?" Who really knows how to translate God's word? "Where is the disputer of this world?" Who's going to make a difference? "Hath not God made foolish the wisdom of this world?" That's to say, you know, do you know where he did that? Romans 11, have you ever read it? He said, "I send the spirit of slumber upon them." Stupor is the word in the Hebrew, the Greek. And hey, you go to some big gathering at an airport, a train terminal, bus station, just look at the people. The majority are in a stupor. They haven't got a clue of what's really going on in this world. And God saw fit to touch you and to give you eyes to see and ears to hear, to know the false one is coming and what you must do about it. How precious that is, to be led of God. And how foolish the world can be in all of its wisdom. That's to say, street smarts, not God smarts. 21, "For after that, in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God, it pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe." In other words, they think that salvation is foolish. They think that people that would believe and put their stock in that, the atheist field grows every year, it would seem. That's all right. Doesn't matter. So does God's election. So do the believers that come into truth. You cannot stop the growth of God's word to the hundreds every day. And this ministry is a witness of it. It happens hundreds every day. New. People hungry, searching for that truth. Not the wisdom of the world. Not the little heroes of the world that would claim to be heroes. But the truth of God's Word and our Heavenly Father, who is the leader and founder, creator of all. 22, "For the Jews require a sign, and the Greeks seek after wisdom." The Israelites, it would seem, they want a sign. They had one. He died on the cross and rose from the tomb in 3 days. And the Gentile seeks wisdom. They got it right here in the Word of God, if they'd look. It's right before them all the time. 23, "But we preach Christ crucified." That means who, what, when, and where. Unto the Jews a stumbling block, and unto the Greeks foolishness. They just can't get over that, why God had to send someone to die on the cross. You know, to a person of the world, that's a loser when you die and die a criminal death. They can't see through the salvation and the love that God placed on that cross. 24, but unto them which are called, that's God's election, both Jews and Greeks, Christ the power of God and the wisdom of God. He opens eyes, he opens ears, and you see the simplicity of God's truth right before your very eyes. That is the power. Verse 25, because the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. And do you know something? When you're at your weakest, Christ strengthens you. Have you ever noticed that? When you think it's all over, you know, you've done everything you can. You're at the bottom of the barrel here when you pray and Christ strengthens you. And things begin to happen. And you say, well, isn't that wonderful? These things are an accident. No, they're not. God loves you. And the Son answers prayer. There's no accidents. The called are taken care of. And 26, you see by your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh, you recognize that, not many mighty, not many noble are called. They're humble people. The 7,000 and all the kings and queens of the ethnos, you show me one and I'll show you somebody that has compassion. They love the Father and they're humble before Him. They're not boasters or braggarts. And they're servants of the living God. Why? Because He called them. He knows His business. I mean, He should. He created them, and from the first earth age, He knows exactly what they're capable of. 27. But God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. And God hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty. And how precious it is that God could use the humble in the world to make that difference with the Holy Spirit operating through them. That's the way God operates. Not a braggart, not a boaster, a can-doer. 28. And base, that's to say small things of the world and things which are despised, hath God chosen. In other words, when you're a true down-to-earth Christian, the world may not like you, but God chose you. Which would you rather be liked by, the living God or the world? Okay. The world brings death. God brings eternal life. Yea, and things which are not to bring to naught things that are. Things just happen for you. And sometimes you'll wake up in amaze, why did I worry about that? It didn't happen. No, because somebody did something about it. And it was probably your Heavenly Father. This is why we came here, 29. That no flesh should glory, that's boast, in His presence. How could one boast in God's presence when it is God that gives all? And that is that same word. That word glory is boast in the Greek tongue. 30. But of him are you in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption, all of those things wrapped up in one. It does not get any better than that. It justifies you, what you have done, with forgiveness, redemption, what it does, makes it square. And the sanctification makes you as one of God's elect, puts you humbly in the right frame of mind. And redemption means He redeems you from the foolishnesses of the world by bringing you into the truth. Verse 31, that according as it is written, he that glorieth, he that boasteth, okay, let him boast in the Lord. Okay. Glory in the Lord is boast. If you're going to boast in something, boast on Him. Boast on our Heavenly Father. Boast on the Lord Jesus Christ. It is He that forgives. It is He that sanctifies. It is He that redeems you from the troubles of this world and makes the difference in your life that brings you peace of mind and subtly brings you out of the turmoil of this earth age that is so indeed troubled. How precious that peace of mind is. Now, let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter 10. 2 Corinthians follows 1 Corinthians. Isn't that brilliant? Wake up every morning and just things fall in place. Chapter 10, 2 Corinthians, verse 12. Verse 12 reads, "For we dare not make ourselves of the number or compare ourselves with some that commend themselves, but they measuring themselves by themselves and comparing themselves among themselves are not wise." Ain't we something? Ain't we really? I mean, you know, according to what this brother does, he is really awesome. What about what God does? Comparing yourself to other people. People that believe God is inactive worship each other, not God. Do you know where that'll end you up? In the junk pile. You're never going to have peace of mind. You're never going to understand anything. It's just going to get fuzzier and fuzzier and fuzzier. Never compare yourself to man. Compare to God. That will always humble you and bring you back down where you belong. Okay, but what does it do otherwise? It brings you blessings. Because He loves you for that. He respects you for that. And He will bring you that peace of mind that you truly, truly need. Verse 13. "But we will not boast." We're not braggarts. "We will not boast of things without our measure, but according to the measure of the rule with God hath distributed to us a measure to reach even unto you." Christ, Paul says, He gave me the truth to reach your heart, your ears, your eyes to open. And that's what the real truth does, humbly. But who did He give the credit to? Almighty God, the Word of God. Not the word of men. 14. "For we stretch not ourselves beyond our measure, as though we reach not unto you. For we are come as far as to you also in preaching the gospel of Christ." We were the first ones there. We brought that word, and it was. He's not taking credit for it for himself. He's not boasting on himself. He said it came from God. 15. "Not boasting of things without our measure, that is, of other men's labors, but having hope when your faith is increased, that we shall be enlarged by you according to our rule abundantly." In other words, the yeast in the bread, it goes through the whole loaf. The truth we bring you, it'll go beyond you. You can't hold it. It's going to run over the side. You're going to be blessed. Can you boast about it? No. Because it comes from God, our Father. But do you know something? Do you know how precious that is if you'll really think about it? Because it's in your family. Well, you might say, well, what do you mean? Well, He's your Father. You can boast about Him. Why? Because He's the one that gives it to you. He's the one that brings it. He's yours. So you can rightfully say, I love Him and I can boast on Him. My Father can get it done. And He does get it done. So there's nothing wrong with boasting there. That's as you should do. And so it is. Verse 16, "To preach the gospel in the regions beyond you, and not to boast in another man's line of things made ready to our hand." In other words, don't ever take credit I, me, I did this, I did that, and leave out everybody that really actually did it, accomplished it. You did it all by yourself, huh? That is very strange. When God uses spiritual influence to touch thousands of people, bring things to pass, no one person can take credit for anything. It's God's children getting it done with the blessings of the living Father. 17. But he that glorieth, he that brags, let him brag in the Lord. Think, brag about our Father and what he does. 18. For not he that commendeth himself is approved, but whom the Lord commendeth. Whom the Lord blesses and commends and uses. It'll be somebody humble, very creative. Why are they creative? Because God gives the gift. Well, then, are they really creative? No, God's gift is. You see, you have to really humbly serve Him and give credit, not to yourself, not to some men necessarily, but to our Heavenly Father who controls all men and gets it done. That's political, religious, or otherwise. That's the way our Father operates. And he doesn't leave anything out. You see, we talk about Satan using the four hidden dynasties. Father created the four hidden dynasties. He's the one that brought them into being. You think he doesn't use them? Of course he does. But some are too foolish to see it. Because the humbleness of those that work within that structure, dropping those little time bombs of truth, they grow. They leaven the whole loaf, basically, overall. So it's wonderful to not boast in yourself, but the power of the living God, your Father, and you're a part of it. How precious that is to serve the power of our Heavenly Father who is over and above all. Now, let's go on to the book of James. Right after the book of Hebrews, you'll have a little old short book called James. And I want to go to chapter 3. We're going to pick it up with verse 8. James chapter 3, verse 8. This little book is written, as you would read in chapter 1, verse 1, James, a servant of God and the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad, greeting. So this is written, if you would, to those tribes and all that have ears to hear. Chapter 3, verse 8. But the tongue can no man tame. It is unruly, evil, full of deadly poison. That's when it runs wild, okay? It's got nothing of the gray matter up in the forehead to control it. Therefore, bless we God, even the Father, and therewith curse we men, which are made after the similitude of God, made in His image, and the image of the angelic being they came from. 10. Out of the same mouth proceedeth blessings and cursings. My brethren, these things ought not to be so. Sweet water and sour water never runs from the same stream. So when you hear this and it's done evilly, you got to say something's wrong here. Something's wrong with the gray matter. 10. Does a fountain, well, there it is right there. Doth a fountain send forth at the same place sweet water and bitter? The answer, no, of course not. It's all the same. Whatever comes from that spring, it's the same. 12. Can a fig tree, my brethren, bear olive berries? No, not unless somebody grafts something in. Either a vine, figs? No. So can no fountain both yield salt water and fresh? It's not going to happen. 13. Who is a wise man and endued with knowledge among you? Let him show out of a good conversation. That means humility. His works with meekness of wisdom. Let him document it. Let him show it. And you can tell whether it be of God or not, because it will. If it's from Father, it will be humble, and God will have the credit. God will do the leading. And we go with verse 14. But if you have bitter envying and strife in your hearts, glory not, and lie not against the truth. I mean, stick with the word of God. Let it redound and let it stay. Let it stick. This wisdom, 15, this wisdom descendeth not from above, but is earthly, sensual, and devilish. That's to say the wisdom of man, earthly wisdom. You want to go there? Don't. You know, you want to be street smart only enough to know what's going on where you know not to go there. 16, for where envying and strife is, there is confusion and every evil work. It's commotion. Why would you want to go there? Well, to plant a seed. Well, plant the seed and pull away. Okay, you do not want to take up a social status where there is wickedness and evilness. 17, but the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable. This is how you spot it. Gentle. It isn't brash. It isn't boastful. And easy to be entreated. Full of mercy, that means unmerited favor, and good fruits. It will improve your life. It will make your life better. Without partiality, I mean, God doesn't play favorites. And without hypocrisy, it just isn't there. When you teach God's word in peace and with humility, there's none of those things can slip in. Verse 18 to complete. And the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace of them that make peace. Don't ever forget that. The fruit of righteousness is sown in peace of them that make peace. You don't. If somebody comes along sowing strife, what are you going to do about it? That doesn't cut it. That's not the answer. Don't go there. Keep peace of mind. And know our Heavenly Father is in control. I want to go on in conclusion into chapter 4 of this same book, Great of James. And we're going to pick it up in the 13th verse. And I want you to listen very carefully. Go to now. Or come on now. Ye that say, today or tomorrow we will go into such a city. And continue there a year and buy and sell and get gain. We're going to make this long-term plan, and that's the way it's going to be. He says, come on. 14. Whereas you know not what shall be on the morrow, for what is your life? Question. It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanishes away. In other words, our Father has you here, but your real body and your real home is with Him. Here, it's just a little passing thing. So that's not that you shouldn't take it serious, but what He's saying here is before you get yourself all tied up in the world, don't leave Him out of the picture. He may have other plans for you. So you plan with a secondary move always, and let that be what God wills. If you're not open in your life to hand over to God whatever He wills, when it comes along, then you need to really analyze yourself. Because you're not willing to follow Him totally, or you would say His will's okay with me. Because you're going to be with Him for an eternity. And if you're called, He's got a purpose for you. There's no accidents in this. Verse 15. For that you ought to say, if the Lord will, we shall live and do this or that. If God lets us, He's still on the throne. 16. But now you rejoice in your boastings. All such rejoicing is evil. Don't leave God out of the picture. I don't care where you go. I don't care what you do. Bring Him into the picture by saying, Father, if it is Your will, show me. Let me know. And be open to Him. And you know what? You're blessed when you do that. 17, to complete the lecture. Therefore, to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. And so it is that sin abounds for those that wish it. People who believe God is dead or doesn't exist worship each other. And people who have no spirituality whatsoever in their life worship themselves. But you are a child of the living God, and His Spirit is in you. Worship Him. Be humble before Him, and be blessed. Why? Because He loves you. Do you know, He created you different than anybody else. Your DNA is different. Your fingerprints are different. You're unique. Because He's got a purpose for you. Let Him and His will be in your life. And joyfully follow Him. Don't be a sad sack. You know, myself, I have difficulty with wimps. Okay, I really, really do. And maybe I should repent and really apologize for that someday. But it's hard for old Marine sergeants to do that. We just don't like wimps. Okay. If somebody says, I think I'm getting depressed, well, shake it out. Okay. Get rid of it. Okay. No excuse for that. We have a Father. He's on the throne. I'm sorry if I frighten some of you. The old sergeant comes out every once in a while. And that's the way it is. But God wants you to serve Him. And you've got every reason in the world to rejoice and be happy. Father, we thank You for the privilege of being allowed to serve You. Thank You for being with us this day. We ask it in Yeshua's precious name. Amen.
Mark of the Beast.